This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Well, the Illinois Soybean Association held a soy advisor field day at the Southern Illinois University Research Center in Belleville yesterday, and it was a hot one. Growers heard from speakers about management techniques for higher yields, how to manage soil pathogens and fungicides, how to farm successfully both in and out of the field, and they also heard about weed control. Ron Krause has worked for the university for 3 decades and spends a lot of his time conducting research trials about weed control. His session focused on the importance of pre-emerge soil herbicides, and he also shared some research findings with the group. This morning, we'll hear from Ron about those findings and what he suggests when it comes to managing weeds.
I've been at the SIU Carbondale now for approximately 34 years, and I manage the Bell Research Center and also a researcher here. I got my degrees from the University of Illinois. I actually grew up just 20 miles southwest of here and had no idea that someday I'd work just 20 miles from where I grew up, so it's great. My family has farmed in the area. I'm currently involved also in a family farm operation, in-laws actually, south of Muscoota. So the research that I've been involved with the last 34 years is primarily weed science research. But we also do research in plant breeding, plant pathology, fertility work at this location as well. And this facility at one time actually was owned by Scattered Forest Base. So it's convenient. It's close to St. Louis. We are the only off-campus research station that SIU Carbondale has. It's about 85 miles northwest of campus.
So you said most of your research relating to weeds and weed science. We did see some of the trials today. So how many trials do you do in a year? Or tell us a little bit about what's happening right now at the research center.
Well, in any given year, we do between 80 and 100 different research trials that relate to weed science. All the major companies such as BASF, DuPont, Monsanto, Bayer, Syngenta, they all do research here at this farm, and we do that in conjunction with the company to supply the company data that they can submit to the EPA for third-party data to either get a new label or to support a new product in some sort of fashion.
And you are working with a lot of students. Obviously, it's with the university. So do your students go on and pursue careers with some of those companies? Do they pursue agronomy, or does it vary?
I've been fortunate in that in my career, I've been able to assist over 50 graduate students and about 40 interns in my career. Yes, these students, we feel, get a very good training in field research. And a lot of the companies value that because they get the hands-on experience working in the field that when they do get their master's degree or PhD, they feel confident they go out in the field and actually do the research that the company requires to generate their data for their company. Yes.
All right. Well, I want to go into talking about some of the things that you were presenting on today, and one that I found very interesting and that I think our listeners will find interesting, relating directly to Madison and St. Clair counties in Illinois, some research done there with resistance to a certain weed. So, Ron, fill us in on what that was and what the findings were.
Yes, the weed that we're talking about is Palmer amaranth, which is a relative new weed species to Illinois. I've been working actually with that weed at the Belleville location since 1996. But in 2012, we identified a glyphosate-resistant Palmer population in Collinsville, Illinois, that has resistance to glyphosate, or Roundup. And in that population, in that same area, we've also discovered last year PPO resistance. In St. Clair County, we have a population that's both PPO resistant and glyphosate resistant, just like it is in Madison County. So Madison County and St. Clair County are the only two counties that I know of right now that have been confirmed to have both glyphosate resistance and PPO resistance of Palmer amaranth.
So since they both have that resistance, how do you suggest managing them, or what are you guys researching to manage them with?
Well, whether it's a resistance or not, the first thing I always suggest to growers is use a soil herbicide. Because a soil herbicide helps to eliminate the emergence of many different biotypes of different weeds. I call it thinning the herd. So if you have less biotypes that may emerge, there's a greater chance to be able to control those weeds that do escape the soil herbicide. Even with the new technologies that are coming out, whether it's dicamba soybeans, Enlist soybeans, and Liberlink soybeans, it's imperative that growers use a soil herbicide. And that's what got us into the problem begin with all the resistance was, we got away from using soil herbicides. And when it comes to weed science, the fundamentals of weed science is basically you start with a soil herbicide because that's the best time and easiest time to control weeds when the weed's very small. Obviously, when the weed's germinating, it's easier to control than when the weed's 4 or 5, 6 inches tall.
And your presentation today was titled, If You Don't Use a Pre, Don't Call Me, and that's just exactly what you were explaining. You also have some other steps to take for weed management in soybeans. Any of those that you'd like to share with farmers and listeners?
Well, you really need to actually read a label. That's the first thing, especially the new technologies. Read a label. Then make sure that you're applying the herbicide at the right time and the right rate. Because with these new technologies, weeds that are 4 inches or less is what's preferred to control that weed. You get above that, you may have escapes, and weed control is much bearable. Again, we're back to using salt herbicide. So that's the first thing I suggest. Next, try to get the beans, the canopy, as quick as possible, because that canopy closure does influence weed control, because any sunlight that does not hit the soil surface will help weed control, and that the weeds won't germinate, because that's what drives germination of weeds. The next thing is, especially throughout water hemp and Palmer amaranth, because they germinate from May to August, is use something called overlapping residuals. And when we're talking about overlapping residuals, that does not mean to go out there and wait for as many weeds to come up post-emergence that may escape your soil herbicide. Go out there within 21 or 28 days after planting and apply your post-product with your overlapping residual, which is usually a post is a grass compound that has activity on water hemp, which may be something like Dual, Outlook, Zidua, or Warren. Put it on with your post herbicide, and then let the residual activity of that overlapping residual control the, and prevent weeds from coming up into the beans canopy. Then the combination of the overlapping residual plus the crop canopy hopefully prevent any further germination emergence of water hemp.
And you shared some research results with us. I think it was... It may have been a 12-year period. I'm not sure how many years, but the best result was using a pre- and post-herbicide. That had the best results year in and year out.
That is correct. I initiated a trial in 1998 and ran for 12 years in a corn-soybean rotation to look at different herbicide programs, either pre-only, pre-followed by a post, or post-only. And the most consistent control of all weeds, and Palmer amaranth was one of the weeds I evaluated over 12 years, where it was in corn, whether it was a no-till or reduced till, was there pre followed by post. It was 99% control from day one to the end of the trial and 12 years later.
I guess the final topic that I want to address with you is one that is getting a lot of attention this growing season, especially in the last couple of weeks in Illinois, and those are Xtend soybeans and spraying dicamba. You have done some research here. Tell us your findings and maybe some things that you think farmers would be interested in hearing about.
Well, what's interesting is our research that we have done in the past 5 years evaluating this technology has shown that if you follow the label and do everything that's on the label, weed size, whether adding a drift retardant agent and using the right nozzles, we haven't seen much off-target movement. That's what's so surprising about all the off-target movement we're seeing now in the country is what's happening, because we have not seen this in our research plots. Obviously, our research plots are a lot smaller than farmers' fields. However, still growers suspect us to have the answers, what's going on. And unfortunately, because of regulations and bringing this technology to the market, we're limited what we could actually do with the technology to investigate, you know, if you have off-target movement, what's causing it and what can we do to prevent it. We just don't have the answers this time because we weren't allowed to do the research in the last 4 or 5 years to address these possible issues. So I am surprised, like I think everybody else is, that we're seeing all this off-target movement, especially with guys who are doing things right. And I've investigated several cases, and I'm confident that the applicator or the grower did do everything right, but yet we're seeing much more movement than we would expect, given the conditions that the herbicide was applied and the things that the applicator or farmer, you know, did.
So what it all comes down to, you said when you started speaking and with it, using any herbicide, I guess your advice would be follow the label, and that's going to prevent a lot of issues?
That is correct. That's where you can start with. And if you do a thing by the label and you still have problems, that's unfortunate, obviously, but at least you know you did everything right. Because in the cases that I've been involved with, farmers are upset. Whether they sprayed it themselves or they had someone spray it for them, they don't like seeing their neighbor's beans injured by off-target movement. So no one's taking this lightly. And farmers are upset. They do care about, you know, injuring their neighbor's soybeans.
So in your opinion, moving forward with this technology, I guess we're going to learn more about it. Do you think we'll see less issues in the future? And do you think that it's beneficial enough that it is something that we should keep using because we are seeing resistance with other things?
Well, I hate to see us lose any type of new technology that helps us control weeds. I think hopefully after this summer, we will be able to figure out what happened, and we will be able to hopefully limit it. I don't know if we'll ever be able to ever totally eliminate it, even with a new formulation, say, but hopefully we can find out why this happened. And that's the best I think we can hope for next year. Again, I'll say it, I hate seeing us losing any type of new technology to control weeds, because with the water hemp and the Palmer amaranth that we're seeing, we've got to have new technologies to try to control these weeds, because we are losing this battle. If you look at what's happened in the last 5 years, look at the state of Illinois and how glyphosate resistance has spread and PPO resistance has spread, we can't afford to lose a new technology. And there's other technologies also that I want to lose, like LibertyLink, and maybe less soybeans will come on the market someday. I showcased today the balance bean system, which is a new soil herbicide applied in soybeans that has to have a trait. So these new technologies, I don't want to see us lose any of them.
Ron Krause, manager of the Belleville Research Center for SIU Carbondale. And that's all we have this morning for your WSMI Farm Show. I'm Katie Wilson.